You asked for it, and here it is. We're back. Absolute August continues into whatever month this is. We're talking about Absolute Flash. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are back to talk about Absolute DC, specifically Absolute Flash. No Speed Force, no Family Flash. That's the log line, even though there's clearly some of all that stuff in here, but who even knows what's going on with this? But I need the super scientist willing to put me into an experiment. Miles, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
I'm Drew, by the way. I didn't say that out loud, but I'm Drew. This is Miles. Hi.
Yeah, we did have some people reach out and said they want us to continue the Absolute. Shout out to the Blue Rose podcast, who helped us back in the day when we were doing the Twin Peaks walkthrough or a watch through. Reached out on Blue Sky and said that they wanted to hear more Absolute stuff. So here we are. And
I'm just going to say, gang, this is going to be an interesting one because as we get further into Absolute and we get to the newer and newer issues, there are fewer and fewer issues for us to actually cover. So we may
right,
not.
We're talking about the second wave now with Absolute Flash. We'll be doing Absolute Green Lantern next week. And then I'm Gone, and then we do Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
I think all three of these titles started in the spring of this year.
Yeah, the Flash started in March, late March of this year.
We talked about this a little bit before recording, but so would you say that Flash is probably the kind of DC icon or family that you're the least familiar with?
I think it kind of goes back and forth. I mean, if you're talking about the majors, right? Like,
right.
I don't know a ton about Green Arrow, you know. I probably weirdly know more about the Flash because I know of multiple members of the Flash family and multiple generations of the Flash family, and they appeared in a ton of cartoons and stuff like that. I honestly,
also had a show that was on for nearly a decade.
Well, that too, but I didn't watch it. So,
Good. It's often good. It's mostly good.
It's sometimes good.
It's good. I was a big Flash fan as a kid.
Yeah, I do think that I am probably less familiar with Wonder Woman outside of her like initial origin story.
Hilariously, I think I'm more familiar with her family, like the Wonder Woman family, like Donna Troy and Cassie. Like, I'm probably more familiar with like Wonder Girl than I am Wonder Woman, mostly because of their relationships with the Robins that I love.
Exactly.
Specifically, Dick Grayson and Tim Drake.
Yeah, you spend some time with any of the Teen Titans and you're gonna get a Wonder Girl in there.
Because
out of context that sounds weird.
Tim dated one of them. I think twice, but well, once in the New 52, which doesn't really count, and then once in the post Connor dying, which does count. It was a weird era. A lot of people, you know, oh, Batman and Superman are the dichotomy. But when I was growing up, for whatever reason, like, while I did like Superman, I was much more interested in the Scarlet Speedster. Like, I just thought he was just cooler. And I've always been a fan of the Flash. And so I think out of everything, I might have been the most cynical about this one. Because I think in one of the books that we read, I think it was Absolute Wonder Woman, they had like a preview for Absolute Flash. And the preview was like three pages and it gave you nothing. And this is a book that is very much, it feels like a serialized novel because we are still in the world building phase, six issues in.
Yeah. You read six. I only read five because that's all I had access to. You picked up six.
I think technically five is where the story kind of cuts off because issue six is like introducing all the rogues and then it kind of ties back into the current story. Let's start off. This is a very, very different take on The Flash, which I did appreciate. I like that it's a kind of a brand new take, and we're focusing on my boy, Wally West, my preferred Flash.
Well, I mean, we are for now. Like, that's the thing about this book, where, you know, they say no Speed Force, no family. I forget what the other no thing is, because that's the whole, again, when we're talking about Absolute, it's the core of the characters, but without the things that make them.
Yeah.
Those and characters.
I don't know how true the no Speed Force thing is. Because I mean, clearly he's fast.
Clearly he's fast, but there's also seems to be some sort of time element to this.
So the Flash and time travel go hand in hand.
I mean, look, that's Flash, the Flashpoint. Let's talk about, I mean, we'll not talk about Flashpoint.
Let's not talk about Flashpoint.
Let's not talk about the Reverse Flash, who some version of that character appears to be in this series.
First story is, you know, kind of a take on the Flash of Two Worlds title, which is a very, very famous comic book. It was like Flash, like 123, but the cover, and I'm going to send this to you right now.
It's the Jay Garrick cover, right? Yeah. With the two of them, one's on one side of the brick wall, the other one's on the other side of the brick wall. And it's Barry on one side and Jay Garrick on the other. And
So that book introduced the concept of the multiverse to DC Comics in 1961. And like, that's where a lot, like, everything can kind of be blamed on this, that particular book.
But,
and it is clear that we are getting some sort of Flash of Two Worlds situation with this Wally West. He keeps kind of popping. He kind of phases into, like, or at least his mind is in two different realities. One in which, and they're kind of taking some of this from that awful Flash movie that came out a couple years ago, but there's one where he's destined to become,
which I still haven't seen.
There's one where he's destined to become like some sort of villain kind of character, some sort of monstrosity. And then the other where he becomes the Scarlet Speedster that we know and love in a costume that is fine.
It's a weird costume. Well,
It is a TV costume is what that is.
Yeah. So we'll also say that this book, like many of the other Absolute books that have been going on right now, is both taking place in a flashback and present day.
Yes. A little bit differently than the last ones that we've done have, because the prior ones have been like, hey, you know, we need to show you the background of this character. Well, we're starting off here with Wally West as a teenager. So, I mean, like, if they ever want to do a Teen Titans, he is of the age. He is 15 years old. And we do get some flashbacks kind of stuff in terms of, like, you know, what happened between him and his dad. But all that stuff is set up differently. It's not the situation like in the Wonder Woman and Batman book where you kind of had to like a page where like the top half was like the flashback and the bottom half was the present.
And I guess technically we also get a number of flash forwards in this that are things we have not gotten, because we get a 1 year later in one of the early books where we see a pretty well-known member of the Flash's enemies gallery, I'm gonna say, because we'll hold the name for who shows up until later. But yeah, Wally is a military kid. I don't know how much of this is unique to this book versus
prior stuff. Even though Wally West is my favorite Flash, you know, when I started reading him, I mean, he was already kind of an adult by the time he took over the mantle, when Mark Waid kind of took over that book and saved and kind of helped really create what people think of the Flash, to be perfectly honest. A lot of stuff that they attribute to Barry Allen, a lot of it's Wally West.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we get a interesting remix. So Wally West is an army brat. He moves around, and at first, you know, he talks that he thinks something's wrong with him. So there's something inert in him before any accidents occur.
It looks like he is a regular sufferer of panic attacks.
Yes. And at first we see that he's kind of just like walking alone by himself. He's trying to avoid. So you kind of wonder if he's on the run. And it's like, no, he just left the base for a little bit past curfew, of course. And I actually love the moment where he walks up to the guard booth and you know, someone asks, you know, this is a restricted area. He shows the pass. The guard clearly knows who he is. He's like, you're not supposed to be out this late, man. And
you're going to be in so much trouble with your dad.
Yeah, that scene is great. And then we get introduced to this iteration of Barry Allen, who, like in the original universe, is a scientist, but not a police scientist. He is some sort of military scientist, or at least is working in Congress with the militarization of science. And he also might... I have a theory that this is not Barry Allen.
Well, there's something going on with this version of Barry Allen that we don't quite know. We know that in this lab that there are experiments being done on animals because we see them we see a bunch of different monkeys in different tubes and containers. We see a bunch of stuff going on, and as we go through this book, we're sort of getting told events out of order as Wally is kind of, his mind is flashing back to different points. And that is one of the things that, while it's all the most interesting thing about what's going on with this take, because we don't have any payoff or answers yet, it's the most confusing thing because there's a lot happening. But Barry sees something in Wally and wants to involve him in whatever's going on in the lab, because otherwise he's just going to go around and not be doing anything and wasting time. Mm-hmm. That seems a little weird to me, much like it seems to you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you don't think that this is really Barry Allen.
No.
I think I had not considered that, but considering that we have a Thawne as part of this story, there could be some wackiness shenanigans happening there.
Have you ever read, I'm asking this, but I'm doing it for segue purposes. Have you ever read, it's a very famous Flash story from the late, I think it's from the late 80s, The Return of Barry Allen. This is a post-crisis story.
I can't
You're
remember.
You're probably familiar
with it. I think I am. I'm familiar. If I haven't read it, I know of the events, at least from a Wikipedia page.
In The Return of Barry Allen, this is a post-crisis book. This is after Barry Allen sacrificed himself to save all of existence. Barry Allen mysteriously returns. And, you know, Wally is, of course, thrilled, but has noticed that he's increasingly acting less and less like the Barry Allen that he knew and loved. And the kind of penultimate twist in the second to last issue is, I think, the fact that it's not Barry Allen, it's Eobard Thawne, who had basically kind of done a little bit of facial reconstruction to, he already looked like Barry Allen, but made himself look like Barry Allen's like twin.
Yeah.
And was in fact the Reverse Flash. And we get some sequences in this book that lead me to think that there is certainly more to Barry Allen than meets the eye, but there is a specific scene that takes place kind of in the other potential reality and then like flashes back to Barry's face looking not very friendly. And it leads you to wonder, standing next to a Miss Thawne,
Is that, there some shenanigans at play?
Yeah, so either Jeff Lemire, who's a great writer, like, and that's one of the things about this book that it's difficult to judge too harshly. It's like I know this writer is a very good writer, and they often write with a ongoing story in mind. They're not writing necessarily for the single issue, and that can sometimes hurt a book like this when you're trying to reestablish a superhero, I feel like.
To me, the biggest thing and the biggest weirdness is, one, I would like to trust that Barry Allen is not experimenting on animals. Like, I know that there is some...
Correct.
I know that there's some changes that... And I know we're focused on Wally in this book, but I would like to think that Barry is not a cast-off evil version just because, you know, this is a dark universe or whatever.
Well, it makes you wonder, where is the real Barry Allen?
But the other side of that is, when the experiment happens that causes Wally to get whatever Wally's powers are, Barry is there wearing the Flash costume, or what will become the Flash costume.
Yeah, because I think it's initially something else, but then parts of it like kind of fall apart in the accident and it just leaves a lightning bolt.
He was wearing, it looked to me in that he was,
and no, it looks like, wearing... like there's a sequence where they actually show like part of the emblem kind of like getting fried or something, so that it looks like the traditional Flash logo.
Yeah, I don't know, looks like arrows going back and forth, and kind of it's a cool logo. I think it's fine, but
yeah,
I don't know, it was weird. And then of course Barry is maybe killed as part of that as he tries to save Wally from whatever's going on.
Yeah, it seems like he's certainly stuck in some sort of flux, and there's a scene where Barry kind of sees, or I'm sorry, Wally kind of sees Barry asking for help, very reminiscent of how like the Black Flash looks, the Flash of Death.
Yeah, as a part of that though, it is one of the most like maybe awful things that they have done, where something about Wally and Barry are attached when this happens, and Wally, who has been told to run, and his powers kind of activate for the first time, and he dashes away, and apparently Barry was attached to him and has all sorts of, like, you don't see this, but it is described in text that like flesh is ripping off of his body and all sorts of stuff as he is being drug along by what Wally is doing. And it's like, oh man, that is hardcore.
yeah. And I mean, so yeah, once the accident happens, Bear runs off, and a group of professionals are tasked to bring him in. And we get our first look at this iteration of the Rogues, the classic Flash villains that have been part of the story since the Silver Age.
Yeah.
We've got our Captain Boomerang. We've got Captain Call. We have Golden Glider. And then they keep calling Jesse, which I know there is another Jesse character, but I always think about Jesse Quick. Well, and I don't think it's supposed to be Jesse Quick.
And Jesse Quick is female, which I don't know. I'm assuming this is it's not Toymaker. What's the Flash Rogues character?
Well, Toymaker's Flash, I think. I'm almost positive.
Trickster.
Trickster's also one. Which
first appearance, James Jesse is the Trickster. So,
okay. That makes sense.
However, this looks to be a female version of the character. So whether
I was thinking about Jesse Quick, because I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
I was also thinking on the Trickster. I was also thinking Jesse Quick, but you know, they could be doing a, cause this Jesse also wears a mask the entire time, and we could be dealing with something that, you know, we haven't figured out yet. But yeah, it was funny to see this. Oh wait, is that really who these guys are? And then Captain Cold, is he Colonel Cold in this? I can't remember what his rank is.
I think they still call him Captain.
Pulls out the Captain Cold glasses, those dumb, I stupid glasses. I love that.
It's so great. It's fantastic. I like the Rogues. I don't necessarily really love how they've done Captain Boomerang, just because like he kind of controls these drones, and I'm like, well, that's less fun.
They're boomerang shaped drones that just fly around. They're not actual boomerangs. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think it's fine. The team most looks good. Their task is bringing Wally in. They fail, and as a result, they unleash Grodd. And I this is a great bait and switch. Is like you see the eyes in the darkness of the kind of container, the cage, the crate, and you're expecting the big, you know, Gorilla Grodd that we're all used to. And no, it's this small green little monkey, very cute. Kind of looks like was it Gleek?
Looks a bit like Gleek. Yeah. Is he green? Yeah. Or is he purple?
He's purple, but like he's got that look, or what basically like Beast Boy looks when he turns into a monkey.
He's also got like what looks like his scalp has been peeled back and parts of his skull are gone because his brain is all out. But
yeah, because they've been experimenting on him. But this Grodd is sweet and
so far
cuddly. So far, yeah. I mean, so far he has bonded with Barry because he can, you know, read minds.
Wally.
And sees that. Well, sorry, Wally.
And we're going to be doing it all episode, gang. I'm sorry.
But he sees parallels to their lives and being experimented on, being the death of Wally's mom and being taken away from Grodd's mom. And it's really, really well done there. I think the Grodd-Wally stuff is some of the best stuff in the book.
I love it. And I also, like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, no family. Well, yeah, but he is building a family pretty quickly.
I feel like the marketing was just struggling to figure out what they could do to make it sound like this flashbook was going to be different. Because, like, you know, with Batman, it's like, oh, yeah, no money, no mansion, no Alfred. You know, well, there's some Alfred, but that's not what they said. I can't. This is no money, no mansion or whatever. Or, you know, no island, you know, no Amazons. You know, that stuff, yeah, it's easy to kind of, but with Flash, it's like, what do we say? He doesn't have his friends? Like, well, okay.
Yeah, but what you do have is, like, you might not have Jay Garrick in the picture, and you might have a weird version of Barry or not Barry, but you do have literally every other character in the DC universe appearing. You've got all of the Rogues, you've got not Gorilla Grodd, but you have a little tiny Grodd, you have, the Dibneys making an appearance.
Yeah, Ralph and Sue running a shelter for wayward youths, which I liked that. I kind of hope they pop in. And we get Linda Park, often Wally's paramour, mother to his two kids in the proper DC universe. And I think she's kind of like a Lois Lane-esque. She's a reporter as well. DC loved
I mean, in this she's just another street kid, so
yeah, here she's another homeless teen, but still kind of has a bright side to her, so I'm excited to see if we see her again. And this is to say, like, it's weird to come off a little negative on this book just because, like, I feel with Batman and Wonder Woman we got decisive stories that helped establish that character within the first arc. With The Flash, I feel like this is really a 12-issue arc that we are in the middle of. And in the same way that Superman felt that way, but even Superman felt a little more established, more was happening. Here, I understand that a lot is going on, but in terms of the narrative, we haven't really moved very far.
Yeah.
And that's not really... It's a problem when I'm reviewing a book that's only got 6 issues out, or even I kind of feel bad for anyone who has to like review books month to month, because it's kind of hard to suss out. Cause you know, yeah, this part of a whole, like, in a bubble may not work for me, but if I read the entire book, if I read all 12 issues, this might end up being a killer Flash story. It's just, there's not enough in the first 6 issues for us to go by. Because I did read issue 6, which basically just gives you the background of the Rogues, who were all part of a task force that went rogue.
And, yeah, and we talk about the Rogues that we see. There is also a name drop of Lazarus Corp from the Superman, Absolute Superman book. But while we see 4 of the Rogues as part of the story, we are introduced to 2 other Rogues as part of these beings that got away.
Yes.
That apparently the other rogues were told they died, but maybe that wasn't exactly true. Heatwave is in this, and Grodd really wants Wally to save Heat. Save Heat. Don't hurt Heat, save Heat. And Wally hasn't quite figured that out. We know that he pulls the Heat off of him, at least for a period of time, because we see a naked dude on the ground for a second, but we never find out what else is going on with that because other stuff happens. But we do know that one of the other names that were on one of these things that was like a broken storage container is the Mirror Master, and that we had already seen in the book from the 1 year forward of what of this character going through and investigating what appears to be the bombed out version of the site where the accident took place that gave Wally his powers.
Which I am definitely very curious of. I mean, like I said, this book may end up being a great Flash story. And I want to iterate that this is by no means a bad Flash story thus far. I feel like that we are in the middle of the action. We haven't really gotten to establish the character as much in six issues as Absolute Batman and Wonder Woman did.
Yeah.
And this also chalks up to the second wave, maybe done in a different style, because I know Martian Manhunter was a six issue miniseries that was graduated to 12. So I do think that like a writer like Jeff Lemire is not really thinking in the floppies, in the singles. And that might be where this book kind of, I don't say fails, but it certainly does falter a bit for me here. Because like while I am enjoying going on this journey, not enough definitive stuff is really happening from issue to issue. And
five issues in, we still don't really know what Wally's powers are.
And a lot of them are a mystery, and some of them are different from the typical Flash powers. Like we know that he was able to like somehow negate Heatwave's mutation, or McRory, if you're a fan of the character. But I don't know. This is a tougher one for me because like it was easier to be critical of Superman because a lot of it felt like we had been there before. With this one, it's more a wait and see. I definitely want to read the upcoming issues and everything, but it's harder for me to fully endorse what they're doing with the Flash, because we really, even though we did have him in costume for that one story where he runs into Heatwave and Heatwave goes on a rampage and he saves everybody, and he does so in a Flash costume,
and we see a flash forward of him in a Flash costume in a future somewhere.
But it's hard for me to say run out and check out this book now, because even as someone who has a relationship with the Flash, it's even as a Flash fan and picking up little odds and ends, it's still not quite as satisfying as Batman and Wonder Woman were.
Yeah.
And part of that lies in the fact that they told a complete first arc, and Lemire is clearly writing a long form story. That's not a bad thing. It's just a different style, and sometimes it doesn't always work. Not that it doesn't work for superhero stories like this, but this is why a lot of people are like, "Oh, I'll read it in trade, or I'll wait and see,"
because they
need to get the whole thing, and I can't fault anymore for that. I would absolutely say run out and buy Wonder Woman and Batman. I mean, those books are great. This one, I would say wait and see. It's certainly not bad. I'm excited to see what they do with the character, but it's really just too soon to call right now.
Yeah, we're just in setup phase, and we haven't really gotten any payoff of that yet, which is probably going to be true for next week's book as well. Miles, I know we're kind of running pretty fast. We got through this episode with Flash-like speed. I feel like I don't have much else to say about this particular book right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I definitely want to say to people who are interested in checking out, definitely check it out. It's by no means a bad book. Just go in with tempered expectations that you are going to have a grasp on the character within the first six issues, because you will not. And that's fine. It's by no means a bad thing. I am excited to read the rest of this arc and see where it goes and see where Flash is by the time their first big event happens in the winter. I think it's Absolute Evil, maybe.
We keep not knowing the title of it. We should really look it up.
I feel like it's called Absolute Evil. I feel like that's what they decided to go with. I could 100% be wrong, but I'm almost positive that's what it's called. Yep, it is. Absolute Evil comes out October 1st. All right, so that probably unravels more of maybe the Leviathan aspect or the Lazarus aspect, because Flash is certainly not in a situation to, like, you know, help anybody, because he's still figuring himself out. But I do know the first arc of Green Lantern is only six issues, so we should be set there.
Well, we say that, but we say that,
but this was also six issues that doesn't really give you a whole lot.
We are going to be talking about the first five issues next week of Absolute Green Lantern. Now, this one is interesting because I'm noticing we talked a little bit about this when we discussed it. I can't remember if it was on air or off air. Absolute Green Lantern focuses on Joe Mullen, Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and Guy Gardner. Four different Green Lanterns as origin stories for presumably all four of them.
Well, that, and Sojourner is a primary protagonist as well.
Joe Mullen, Sojourner Mullen, same character.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that.
It's okay. Now, whether Joe is, Sojourner Joe Mullen. Sorry, I haven't read Far Sector, so I don't really know anything about her character at all. But the genre of this, in addition to superhero, is also classified as a horror comic. So that is interesting to think about from a Green Lantern perspective. And what this is going to be. I'm purposely not reading too much about it before we just jump into these books, because I think it's just more fun and interesting that way. Like, the Green Lanterns are one of the at least origin stories outside of the Far Sector new Joe Mullen. You know, I know all about Hal Jordan and John Stewart and Guy Gardner. So this is going to be an interesting one to see how they sort of play this, because, you know, normally a single ring goes to Sector 2814, and looks like it's going to be pretty different. Only five issues of that are available to us right now, so we will be talking about those five issues, and maybe some magic will happen and we get the sixth one before next week, but I don't think so based on this calendar. So that is what we're going to do next week. Now,
do you know what the no blank is for this book? Is it no core?
It's probably no core, but I can tell you the premise. I'll just say the premise because I think this is weird. Focuses on those four after a large Green Lantern falls from the sky and crushes a town, causing widespread paranoia.
So that, is it a large, like, member of the Green Lanterns, or is it a giant lantern?
I'm going to assume it's a giant lantern that then gives these four rings as part of the thing. I don't know yet. Haven't really gotten into it.
It's described as a horror title with a major theme being fear of the unknown, also tying into religious and cosmic horror and the nature of God. Oh boy, I'm excited for this.
That's pretty wild.
I like Al Ewing's stuff. He got his start doing 2000 AD and Judge Dredd stuff. Obviously, he's a British writer, and has gone on to do a ton of stuff for Marvel. And
he wrote the Sword series for the Krakoa era. That's interesting.
Yes, and has. It's just done a bunch of different stuff. I think he did the Valkyrie Jane Foster book. But I'm excited to see. Oh, he wrote He did X-Men Red. Okay, cool. I'm excited to check this out. And I mean, this is the fun thing about the Absolute Universe is, like, I don't know what we're getting. Like, even this Wally West book that we read, it's very different from a lot of the traditional Flash books that we get. And I can at least, you know, give DC this, is they are whether or not they hit the target, they are absolutely delivering the promise of these are all new, all different versions of the characters that you know and love.
And they do still, again, it's not just dark books for the sake of being dark books. They still seem to have a lot of the core concepts of the characters, which, again, is so refreshing to see. Because you really want the idea of, oh, if these characters didn't have that, like, if Batman didn't have all his money, he wouldn't be Batman. Nuh-uh. If he didn't have all his money, he'd still be Batman. And that's the core to what is happening with all of these books. And I love it. I was at Dragon Con last weekend, which is why we did not record, I guess a weekend and a half ago, 2 weekends ago. And Scott Snyder was there, but I didn't get to talk to him. He wasn't at his booth, man, when I walked by. But I would have gone up and just high-fived him and said,
yeah, because you were with me when we met Greg Capullo, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was super fun.
At SC Comic-Con many moons ago.
Yeah. That was a good time. Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited about to do Green Lantern next week. And then we will be off for a week as I go to vacation times. And then we will be back doing Absolute Martian Manhunter before we welcome in the spooky season. Drew, where can people find us?
If you would like to find us, you can find us at themoreyouknow.com, where you can find this and every other episode of the show. You can find us also on social media at The More You Nerd or / The More You Nerd on just about anywhere that social media can be found. And you can, of course, email us themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. But that's not all. We also have another show that Miles and I are on. It's called Cosmic Crit. It is a podcast where we play a bunch of cool tabletop RPGs, namely the Starfinder RPG by the company Paizo. It's like D&D, but with like space magic and spaceships and cool laser guns and stuff. And we have been doing that for a number of years. It is important to note that this week, if you are listening to this as we post it tomorrow, is CritterCon 2025, where we are raising money for Doctors Without Borders. So with that, come to CosmicCrit.com, join the Discord, play some games if you want, or just check out some live stuff that we are doing, because we're going to be doing a bunch of live events, including one where we're playing a game that we've never played before that we've wanted to play for a long time that I think people are gonna like. I think it's
amazing. Super excited about it.
I'm bursting out of the chest with excitement for it.
Oh boy.
So that is all this week as you're listening to it. But of course, if you're listening to this later, please go to cosmicrit.com, join the Discord, just talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, we are gonna end the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out. Too nerd for y'all!